Hey everybody, I'm Jason, the creator of the Army Showcase, and calculate your probability of success in this episode of the Tabletop Battlefield! Welcome back to Season 2 of the Tabletop Battlefield, the official podcast of the Army Showcase over at www.tabletopbattlefield.com. And what we're going to talk about today is a whole lot of math. Because what we're doing is we're calculating probability. So I'm basically going to give you a whole introduction to probability, how I calculate it for different events, specifically relating to miniature wargaming and a few of the specific scenarios for the various rules of the games. So first I want to talk about when you're actually dealing with probability. This is obviously trying to calculate the percent chance some event is going to happen. So you've got a bunch of possible outcomes and some outcome you want to see come up. So what's the probability that outcome you want to see come up occurs? And it's a bit of an ethics issue really in this of miniature wargaming. For one, gamers rightfully don't like when people, while they're actually playing the game, are sitting down there running math in their head, figuring out the probability of different events as the game goes out. And especially if you're sitting down with, let's say, a calculator or a notepad trying to figure out your probability during the game, people obviously don't like that because it slows down the game and kind of can, to some people, seem like it takes away some of the fun of just trying to simulate the whole military aspect of it instead of trying to do math behind it. So, the moral of the story is when you figure out the probability of different things, do it ahead of time so when you go into a battle, you know what you're getting into. Don't sit there and waste your time and the player's time, especially if it's like a time tournament. Sit there and try to figure out the probability of different things in your head. So, after a while, you probably get a pretty good idea of just kind of estimating probability on the field. So that's kind of, that's all right to do as long as you do it quick, but just don't do long math while you're playing the actual games. So as I mentioned, probability is just the idea of how likely some event will occur. And what you'll find is probability is usually expressed as a decimal number. Where that, say the value of 0, means that an event will never happen, whereas the value of 1 means that an event is pretty much guaranteed to happen. And obviously, chances are you've probably seen all this probability stuff before, or chances are you've seen some of it before. You probably would notice that you often see things expressed in percent. Like say, okay, there's a 50% chance this is going to happen, 70% chance this is going to happen. How this works is to calculate from the decimal range of 0 to 1 to a percent is very simple. You just want to go ahead and multiply this decimal value by 100. So if you had, say, let's go over here. You had something at a probability of 0.5 chance of happening. To calculate that 2%, you multiply this number by 100, which will translate to 50, or essentially 50% of something's going to occur. So obviously, 0.5 means something's going to occur 50% of the time, 0.4, 40%, 0.3, 30%, 0.9, 90%, 0.93, 93%, and so on. So with that out of the way, that's how you see the difference between percent and decimal. Because normally, in most mathematical situations, probability is expressed as a decimal. So here's kind of the quote I call the mathy definition of probability. The idea is you got a set of possible outcomes. So for example, let's take a look at a single D6. Obviously six sides, six numbers, six possible outcomes to each individual roll. So your set of possible outcomes then is obviously 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Nothing fancy, really simple to do that. So the probability that any event is going to occur is obviously the number of times in the set that event occurs divided by the total number of items in the set. So how that works in this case is any number here in the roll is going to show up once. So let's say, so the probability say of rolling 3 on a D6, what is that? Well, the number of times that 3 appears in the possible set of results is 1. See, there's a circle here, is 1. So, like I said, probability comes down to the number of times an event occurs in the set divided by total, or the number of total, essentially, events in the set. And also, I probably should mention for terminology purposes, throughout the show, I may refer to it as events and outcomes kind of interchangeably, because you see them both described throughout probability. So the number of times an event occurs in the set, in this case, number 3 is just 1. Divide that by the total number of items in the set, 6-sided die, 6 numbers, 6 items, is 1 divided by 6. You do the math, that comes out to be about 0.166666666 repeating, or approximately 16% chance of occurring. So there you go, that's a very simple probability example, a very simple set. So now you've seen the probability of when a single number basically occurs in a die, but what about a set of numbers? Like, what's the probability of a certain range of numbers occurring on a die? Because obviously you'll find this comes up in a lot of games. Like, for example, Warhammer 40K, which you got a few guys chilling over here off of the side. In Warhammer 40K, you got a mechanic obviously called the armor save. Whoa. Don't go to the table, dang it. Okay, well, you got a mechanic called the armor save, which essentially works that you roll d6, and if you score a certain value or higher, the wound that your guy is trying to take actually is ignored, and basically they don't take any damage. So let's say, for example, we'll pick up my crisis suits over here. They have a 3+ armor save. So what's the probability that a crisis suit is actually going to go ahead and indicate and actually absorb the save? So we could roll a d6, and I just rolled a 4, meaning I absorbed the save, because I got a 3 or above. So let's look at how that works out mathematically. So if we go back to our original numbers here from our last example, we still got a set of 6 numbers because it still works with just a single 6-sided die. So you've got the numbers 1 through 6. So just like before, obviously, you've got 6 total items. But this time, instead of having a single number you want to show up, you have a range of numbers, which is 3 and above. So essentially what you've got here is you've got two sets, a success set, which contains all the numbers which count as a successful armor save, and a fail set that includes all the numbers that count as a failed armor save. So for 3+, your success, we'll just call it a big capital S here, is equal to 3, 4, 5, and 6. Let's do a quick count, there's 4 items in there. So you have 4 items in this set. The fail set is obviously just a 1 or a 2. Or essentially 2 items. Now, given the circumstances, we only really care about the success set. So we can, for all intents and purposes, go ahead and just kind of ignore the fail set here. And we know the success set has 4 items in it. So if we go back to our probability, the number of times an event will occur in the set divided by the total number of events in the set. So we have, for the number of times that event will occur, there's 4 possible items. Total number of items in the set still remains at 6. So it's 4 divided by 6 is probability, which works out to be 0.66, or approximately 66%, or about 2/3 of the time your guy's going to save his armor save. Kind of is a simple extension of following the original base set to kind of calculate a more larger set of numbers. Now, one thing you might kind of start picking up here is you realize that, and when you got a case of a success and a failure set like this, that if you were to add the probabilities of these two sets together, you'll add up to 1. So what you'll quickly notice is that the probability of success, it's equal to 1 minus the probability of the fail set. And also, the probability then of failure is equal to 1 minus the probability of the success set. So therefore, if you happen to know, say, okay, I know I've got a 66% chance of passing this armor save, well, what's the probability that I'm going to fail the armor save? Instead of having to do any kind of division, you know, okay, well, 66% or 0.66 probability of passing it, do 1 minus 0.66, you're going to get around 0.33 or so on chance of actually failing it. Do the math in your head better next time, Jason. So let's extend out what we've just been doing here, and the fact, go beyond just a single d6. And all these basic mathematical ideas I'm tossing out here apply to other dice as well. Like I've got here a d10, so 10-sided dice. Now, unlike a d6, obviously, a d10, as the name suggests, as I mentioned, 10-sided dice, has the values 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 on it. So say if you wanted to find the probability of, what's the probability that 8 will occur? So there's one occurrence of 8 in the entire set, 10 items, so 1 divided by 10 works out to be equal to 0.1. So it's very simple, kind of extended out to other dice sizes. Or even custom dice. Like here I've got... No, come back. Okay, here I've got a couple of HeroScape dice. I dropped another one on the floor. Now, here escape dice don't have numbers on them. They've got three skulls, they've got two shields, and they got one blank spot. Where obviously, if you're rolling for an attack, each skull you roll translates to a hit, and if you're rolling for defense, each shield you roll absorbs one hit from the enemy. So if we look at this from a probability perspective, what you see is, instead of a set of numbers where we've had in the past two dice, you've got a set of symbols. So you've got a skull, 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 shield, shield, and then blank. And even though you've got symbols instead of numbers now, what you're going to find is the math works out the exact same way. So like, what's the probability of getting a skull? Well, how many times does a skull appear in the result set? 1, 2, 3. How many items are there in the total set? 6. 3 divided by 6 is 0.5, or about 50% of the time when you roll a die, you're going to get a skull. 33% of the time, you're going to get a shield. About 16% of the time, you're going to go ahead and get a blank. So, same exact math as with these fancy custom dice versus normal dice. Alright, time to make things even more time consuming. So what we're going to do is go beyond just single dies. So you got a single die. Instead of that, we're going to go with 2d6. What you'll find with 2d6 now is all the basic math band probability still remains the same. It's still the number of times you want the event that you want to occur occurs divided in the set, divided by the total number of items in the set. So the mathematical formula for probability doesn't change at all, though the thing that becomes more tricky is actually building the actual total set of events. Because you got to do a little bit of math, and basically when you start getting lots of dice, it's not so much hard as it is time consuming. So what we're also going to see a difference here now is we're going to go from beyond what's called uniform distribution to normal distribution. So previously, usually it's just a single die. Uniform distribution refers to the fact that each of the events that could possibly come up will occur an equal chance at the time. There's six sides in a die, six different events, so therefore the probability that any one number will come up is not greater than any of the others. When you start playing with multiple dice, what you're going to see is something like this happen, where you've got basically like a curve. Or if you say you graph out the roll along the x-axis here, and the number of times it occurs along the y-axis, you're going to see something that kind of looks like a bell curve in theory. It's not going to look quite as nice if we were to completely graph it out, but this is the theory behind it. And that certain numbers are going to appear more frequently when you're dealing with multiple dice than with just single dice. Like you'll find, for example, in 2d6, number 7 is going to occur more frequently than anything else. So let's go on here and actually show you how to build the actual result set for multiple dice. How it works is there are essentially two independent events. What I mean by that is each die, when it's rolled, is totally independent of each other, so that the outcome of one die does not affect the outcome of the other way in any way, shape, or form. So in order to calculate the total result set, what you got to do is for each value on one die, you got to basically factor in all the other possible values of the second die. So that can be kind of confusing, but what I mean is your basic result set's going to be, here I'm holding the dice, I'll rotate them, I'm going to say it, a 1-1, like a 1-2, a 1-3, a 1-4, a 1-5, a 1-6, and you're going to move on this other die back to the next level, 2, so you have a 2-1, 2-2, 2-3, and so on. So what you're going to start seeing, the results that's going to start looking something like this. Where if I put it in parentheses, the roll of each of the dice, you've got a 1-1, you've got a 1-2, a 1-3, a 1-4, a 1,5, a 1,6, go back here, 2-1, 2-2, and I'm going to keep going on here and fill out the rest all the way up to 6-6. So I'll take a quick break and come back and have the rest of the chart filled in. Because I don't think you really want to sit here and listen to me fill in numbers for another 5 minutes. So here we go now. I got the entire chart filled in from 1-1 all the way to 6-6. And do a quick check to make sure you've got all the pairs. Well, I guess you can't say you got all the pairs, but you can find out if you have the right number of pairs. Because what you'll find is the number of pairs you have here is going to be equal to if you were to multiply all the sides of the dice together. So I've got 2 6-sided dice. So to figure out if I got the right number of pairs, I'd go 6 times 6, which equals 36. And if I were to sit down here and count up all these pairs, you'd find that I do have 36 pairs out there. So therefore, I've got the correct number of pairs that I want to have to start to figure out the total result set of 2d6. Also, keep in mind that these results here are totally independent of each other. In fact, the fact that, say, 1, 2, which means the first die came up 1, the second die came up 2, is different than having the second die come up, or the first die come up 2, and second die coming up 1. So remember, those are different events and count them differently. So don't look at them and go, oh, well, there's inverse of each other, let's get rid of one. No, they're different events, you gotta calculate both of them in the whole thing. So the next step in line is obviously we're interested in the totals of each of these rolls. We're not interested in the individual number, it's just the total. So individual numbers is a nice way to start to make sure you've got all the pairs. But now we gotta go ahead and start doing the math, which is just a whole bunch of simple addition to figure out the totals of each of the rolls. So all you do is start with the upper, what would be for you, upper right corner. For me, facing the board is upper left corner. So start with there and go and start adding up the numbers. So 1 plus 1 is, wow, 2, then 3, then 4, then 5, then 6, then 7. And go on, do this for the rest of the chart, and I'll come back in a minute because just as much as you probably don't want to see me add up numbers, as much as you want to see me add up, just kind of write them down. So come back in just a minute, and I'll get this taken care of. All right, so I've got now here my completed chart of all 36 sums of all the 36 possible results. And from this point here, it's really as simple as going back and counting up the number of times an event will occur and divided by the total number of items in the set. As I mentioned before, we already know that the total number of items in the set is 36. So let's pick a number, let's say 7, which I mentioned was the most common number on 2D6, and count how many times it shows up in this chart. Well, pretty simple. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. So 7 can occur 6 times, so all you do is you go back over here, take 6 divided by 36, and you get the result of 0.1666, or approximately 16% of the time, you're going to roll 7 on 2D6. And of course, if you want to go ahead and apply the same idea of sets before, like for example, let's say you're trying to roll, let's see, we'll do what's a nice example. Someone's trying to hit a Cod or a Warjack. Cod or Warjack's a terrible defense. So on 2d6, they need a 5 plus to succeed. So just like with one die, this means your success set's going to include the numbers 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12 in it. So you want to count the number of times any of those numbers show up on the little chart over here and divide it by the total number of items in the set. Okay, so let's just go ahead. And one thing nice about looking at this chart is the way it works. So basically, you can kind of just go ahead and cut a little line across here. And anything below this, or sorry, anything to the for you would be to the lower left. Wait. Yes, lower left. Anything for you to the lower left would be 5 or above. Anything to the upper right is going to be 4 or less. So if we were to do some quick math, we could just do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. So 30. So there's 30 possible times that the 2d6 is going to result in a roll of 5 or greater. So go back to your probability equation, 30 divided by 36, because there's 30 times the event could possibly occur, 36 total items, and that'll give you a probability of about 0.83, or about 83% of the time you're going to succeed with that attack. So just like that, it's really simple to actually go ahead and extrapolate the ideas of probability from one die to multiple dice. Like I said, just the difficult part comes in, well not difficult, the time-consuming part comes in building this potential result set. When you go ahead and actually, when you go ahead and even factor, start having to say 3d6 or 4d6, or hopefully don't start doing, let's do what happens with 2d20, you know, you'll get really huge charts, very messy, and those kind of things are best solved with a computer program. Okay, all of this is great for single events, what about chains of events? Obviously, in a lot of games, you gotta make multiple dice rolls to resolve hits or resolve damage or whatnot. Like, for example, Warhammer 40,000 or Warhammer Fantasy, you've got a situation where first you roll a d6 to determine do you hit the target, then you have to roll a d6 to determine do you wound the target, and then the player controlling the figure has to make a d6 roll to determine do they take their armor save and is the wound negated or is the wound passed through. So when you got a situation like this where obviously several events have to be true in order for one big event to be true, how this works is you just got to multiply the probabilities of each individual event together to figure out if the larger event is going to be true or not. let's take an exact a sample item here. Let's say you've got a character who has a ballistic skill of 4, so hits on a 3+. So on a single d6, if he rolls a 3 or higher, he's going to do some. He's going to hit. Let's say then he has a situation based on, because you can factor in a whole bunch of values for resolving if you wound or not in 40k. He's going to wound then on a 2+. So he's got a roll of a 2+. And the opponent you're hitting has an armor save of 4+. So the target's armor save is going to be a 4+ armor save. So let's go ahead and take a look at this. It's 3 different events initially. So the first event, we need to get a 3+ to hit. So obviously that means our success set on a d6 is going to be a 3, 4, 5, or 6. 4 items. 4 divided by 6 is going to be about 0.66. 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, and so on. Let's look at the possibility of a wound. You need a 2+. So now your success set is going to contain 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, or 5 items. Let's do the quick math. 5 divided by 6 is going to be equal to 0.83333, so 0.8333, around 83% chance of succeeding. And in the last case, an armor save, as the attacker, we want them to fail the armor save. So, well, their success set for passing the armor save would be a 4, 5, or 6. Our success set, in terms of them failing their armor save, is going to be a 1, 2, or 3. So, we write down a 1, 2, or 3, which means 3 items. Or a 3 divided by 6, which is 0.5. As I mentioned back before, how this breaks down now is, you want to go ahead, and the total probability of this whole attack succeeding would be the probability of event 1 times the probability of event 2 times the probability of event 3. So let's go ahead and plug those values in here. So the probability of the first event is about 0.666 times the probability of event 2, which is 0.83333. Times the probability of the last event, which is 0.5. And that's all going to be multiplied out and come out to being 0.2777. So 0.2777 probability of hitting, or about 27% chance. And also keep in mind, when you do this kind of math, where you're multiplying or adding probabilities together for any reason, always use a decimal form. If you go ahead beforehand and multiply these guys by 100 to get 66, 83, and 50, you're going to get some really wacky numbers, and it'll give you a completely wrong answer altogether. So be sure when you're multiplying probabilities together that you actually go ahead and just use a decimal form. So just like that, it's a very simple example how you can chain multiple probability events together, where obviously the total outcome of the full event requires an all 3 succeeding. And there's no reason you can limit it to 3. It could be 2 events, it could be 100 events. You can sit down and do the math if you want to go ahead and figure out how many different things have to occur. You can go right ahead and do that. So, very simple example how to chain them together. Okay, in order to go on to the next topic, I'm going to jump ship a little bit and explain the concept of a Venn diagram. A Venn diagram is just a graphical representation of the probability of an event. It normally consists of, effectively, a square with one or more circles inside this square. We'll just do a simple one circle. So the idea here is that the area outside the circle, entire area inside the circle represents all the possible outcomes of an event. So this is, say, a d6 roll. The square represent the set of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, because those are all the possible outcomes of a d6 roll. The circle now represents basically all the outcomes that could occur that are part of the success set. So we're saying a 3+ armor save for us, a success set would then be 3, 4, 5, and 6. So this circle represents the numbers 3, 4, 5, and 6, where the total square represents 1 through 6. The reason I'm showing you this right now is because this helps explain our next topic better, which is basically figure out situations where in order for an event to succeed, one event or a second event must occur. So also you may have a situation where there's multiple circles inside a single square. Let me go ahead and draw another big thing over here. And this represents that there are multiple ways, for essentially an event to succeed or something along those lines. So you got two events inside one total set. So, let's say here, for example, there could be different ways this is laid out. Like, for example, you got a situation where if you have two circles in the Venn diagram, but they don't overlap, this means that either event 1 can succeed or event 2 can succeed, but never can both of them succeed at the same time. So you've got two different events that can never be basically succeed at the same time. You could have a situation where you have one large circle, and inside the large circle, you've got a second smaller circle. So what this translates to is that event 2, which is a smaller circle, when event 2 succeeds, that means that event 1 is always going to succeed. So it's possible for event 1 to succeed without event 2 being succeeding, but it is not possible for event 2 to succeed without event 1 also being a success. Another possibility you might see with Venn diagrams is essentially, even if it's multiple events, one giant circle. Because essentially there's 2, 3, 4, 1500 circles here, but they're all exact overlapping each other, which means that when one event succeeds, all of them succeed. It's not possible for, you know, one event to succeed and the other one not. When one succeeds, they're all going to succeed because every single event has the exact same number of results set to it. It has the same set of successful outcomes. And the last one, probably one of the more common ones you're going to see is a situation where there's two circles and they have an overlapping region. So they have one circle here, one circle here. So what you've got here is a situation where with your two each circle is an own independent event. This means that event 1 can succeed without event 2 succeeding. Event 2 can succeed without event 1 succeeding. Or it's possible they both can succeed. So it's basically your most versatile thing, and this is the type of diagram we're going to use to explain the next concept. We've got one large event where its success depends on the fact that either one event can succeed or the other or both can succeed. So what we're going to do here is imagine a situation where you've got two events. We'll just call it event 1 and event 2, very imaginative names. And then there's this event 3. Event 3 will succeed when either event 1 succeeds or event 2 succeeds. So the question is, how do we calculate the probability of event 3 succeeding? So to do that, which the math behind it is equal to, so event 3 is going to be equal to the probability of event 1 plus the probability of event 2 minus the probability of event 1 times the probability of event 2. Now the reason we do this thing here, well, the reason, first of all, you can't just add the two probabilities together and expect to think that that's going to be the case, is because if you go back here to this Venn diagram, remember the idea is of trying to calculate the area of these two circles to determine, you know, basically the probability that the total event's going to succeed. So if we go ahead, and this first part here of the equation is take the probability of event 1, add to the probability of event 2, what you'll do is you'll add this area over here, like this, and then I'm going to add the probability of event 2, which is the area of this other circle. We'll use this purple. And what you're going to quickly notice is then the area here where the circles overlap has now been added to the equation twice. So this area right here where the circles are intersecting each other, that particular area has been added twice. Therefore, the probability is going to be inaccurate. Because if you want to calculate the area of this bizarre shape here, you can only factor in that area of intersection once. By factoring in twice, you've got too much area, too high of a probability. So that's why this area here, the intersection area, is represented by the idea of the probability of event 1 times the probability of event 2. So therefore, by subtracting that off, even though initially when you add together, this area gets added up twice, by subtracting off the multiplication of the probabilities, you're subtracting that area once. So do quick math. If area gets added twice and subtracted off once, you've got the area is now only added in once. Therefore, you're going to get an accurate probability. Hopefully that makes sense. If not, you kind of look into some, I'll explain a little bit more about where the math of this comes from behind. Or if that doesn't make sense, I'll explain it in a little bit, kind of where you can read about more about this math and see how you kind of read it yourself and understand a little bit better. So let's factor this in for a real scenario. Let's say, for example, we've got a LAS cannon, which is twin-linked, and they have a ballistic scale of 3+. For all you non-40K players out there, twin-link essentially means that you roll when you roll the attack, if you miss, you can go ahead and roll a second die and see if you hit. If the second die hits, the weapon hits. As if the first die roll essentially didn't matter. So that's exactly what you've got here. You've got essentially... So for all intents and purposes, what you're really doing is you're rolling 2d6, and if either of the dice come up with a 3+, then the attack hits. So you've really got two separate events, event 1, event 2, and when each, if either of them succeed, the total event succeeds. So, obviously, before when you figured out before, the probability of a 3+ ballistic skill hitting is 0.66. So I won't go through that whole math again. So the total of event 3 then, which is the probability of one or the other one hitting, is going to be 0.66, and I'm repeating, plus 0.66666 minus 0.66666 times 0.66666. If you do that whole math out, what you're going to find, the answer is equal to 0.888, is it? Yeah, 0.888888 is a lot of repeating decimals here, are about 88% chance of success. So a 3+ with a twin link to reroll some kind is actually a really good roll. So what about two events with different probabilities, where you're doing the same kind of thing, where you've got two different events, and the larger event succeeds when either one or the other event succeeds? And if you have the situation where the two events are actually different probability values, it works just the same. The math is just the same, which is in fact, you're just going to plug in different numbers. So, a while back, I did an example, or did a little sample analysis of the Tau Empire's Hammerhead Cluster Shot Railgun, and see how that compares in 5th edition versus 4th edition. Where essentially, in 5th edition, in order for it to hit, either A, you have to roll A, erase this stuff, leave that up there. So, in order in 5th edition for it to hit, you have to roll either A blast marker on a scatter die, or you have to roll a 4 or less on 2d6. So if we were to go ahead and figure out the blast marker stuff, you know the total set is blast, blast, and then 4 scatters. So the probability of a blast occurring on a scatter die is 0.33, about 0.33333, or about a 33% chance of a blast marker coming up. And with 4d6 on a 2d6 situation, that is equal to, that could occur on 6 times out of a possible 36 different events. So if you go back a little ways in the podcast, back to when I had that old chart read out, being see if you count it out, there's 6 times when a 4 or less is going to occur on 2d6. So the probability of that then is 0.16666, or about 16% chance. So the probability of a direct hit with a hammerhead cluster shot in this case is going to be equal to 0.3333333, natural level P numbers, plus 0.166666 minus 0.3333333 times 0.166666. I wonder if that's getting annoying to you guys. Hopefully it's not. I'm having fun with it. Or solve that whole thing out. It's going to be about 0.44444, or about 44% chance of a direct hit. So, as you can see there, when you have situations where the two individual events have different probabilities, it works just the same. Nothing complex or hard there. Now, if you want to get something really messy going, let's say you had three Marines, which have a ballistic skill of 4+, and therefore hit on a 3+ roll on a d6, what's the probability that at least one of them will hit? This is where things get really, really, really messy. Because essentially what this all is something called the inclusion-exclusion principle of probability. Frankly, I'm not going to go in too deeply into it right now. It's a great article in Wikipedia. I'll put a link to it in the show notes. But it gets really in-depth, really very mathematical, and this is when examining these Venn diagrams will come really helpful. Because this equation I showed you here for the probability of two individual events kind of combining for one large event, that is the inclusion-exclusion principle being used, but only for two events, where it's not too messy. When you start factoring in a third event, you're going to start seeing things where you're going to have to then add all the areas together, subtract off all the places where these two, where the two areas intersect, then add again the area where all three intersect, and it's just, ugh, it's a long, disgusting equation. Maybe another episode in the future, I'll go into more of the advanced probability for some of these more cooler scenarios, but we're getting very close to the end of the show right now. I just don't have time to cover it over. But like I said, it's the inclusion-exclusion principle you can read about on Wikipedia if you're really interested. And also, the thing is, this is one of those kind of things where it'd be helpful if you had a computer program to solve it, because it gets huge, it gets really big, really fast. And I mentioned, I think back in episode 11 this season, when we were talking about designing your own games, I was trying to figure out the probability of how my ships would fire their weapons and hit, and it just caused my head to explode. And I started dealing with like six weapon fires, and oh my goodness. Yeah, so that's really disgusting math, and you can read about it, but I'm not going to talk about it right now because I'm out of time and it hurts my head. So, some other important notes here. One last note, is that probability has no memory. And what I mean by that is when you've got two independent events, like say 2d6, the roll of one d6 does not affect the other. I've heard some people say when they roll, if you roll a d6 and you get a 6, somehow that's going to make it harder to roll another 6 on the second die, which is absolutely ridiculous. Well, it's true that the probability of two 6s coming up when you roll 2d6 is very rare. The fact that the first die comes up a 6 does not change the probability of the second die rolling a 6. So just keep that in mind. Also, for some reason, I've heard some people claim that when you roll lots of dice at once, like, you know, like in, say, Babylon 5 game, where you roll like 15 dice to fire your ship at once, that somehow that produces higher dice rolls. Mathematically, that's absolute nonsense. If there's some other weird thing going on there, some physics thing going on there, I don't even at SLSQ understand it. Maybe somebody else sit down and do a test, see if there's any reason to that story, but mathematically it's absolutely ridiculous. Maybe just the myth continues to go on because of the fact that if you sit here and roll all your dice independently, and you have, say 24 shots from a Fire Warrior squad, you'll be here for the next 17 days, or that, or your opponent will drive across the table and punch you in the face, because that's absolutely annoying to do. So, maybe it's really just a myth to kind of keep the game sped up and not letting jerks go sit here and roll one die at a time when they got 50 dice to roll. So, I don't know. But just keep that in mind if you hear those two things, neither of those really mathematically make any sense. And some last important numbers to finish up with. The average roll on a d6 is 3.5. The average roll on 2d6 is 7, and the average roll on 3d6 is 10.5, and if you keep going up there, keep adding 3.5 for each new d6, and you'll see the different rolls. So, with that, I guess that's about all I got for you. Hopefully that made some sense, and hopefully you learned something new you may not have known. I probably will go ahead, and I have a little notes here in a little, it's actually open document format slide, but I'll put in PowerPoint format up somewhere, probably in the show notes, so you can download and take a look at some of my math I did. And with that, I'm Jason. Thanks for watching. Questions, comments, or anything you want to say, send them to jason@rockosoftware.com. That's rockosoftware.com. And yeah, you can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/tt_battlefield. And I guess that's all I got for you today. So thanks for watching. Hopefully you figure out now what's the probability you're going to shoot somebody in this episode of the Tabletop. Wait, now I blew that in, didn't I? Forget it. See you guys 2 weeks, the next episode of the Tabletop Battlefield. The intro music Down With Everything is by The Transfer and is acquired from www.podtapefighter.com and is used in their Creative Commons license.